Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in Battle Creek, the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, led by Ann Harrigan, will perform Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story in a concert version featuring the orchestra and cast on stage. One of the lead actors will be Jessica Souza, who performed the lead role of Maria for hundreds of performances on an international tour of West Side Story. Recently, I asked her how long it's been since she stepped into the role.
I've done it a few times since the tour, but I did the international tour almost 4.5 years ago now, and did over 150 performances doing it in Europe. And then I was able to do it 3 years ago in San Diego with San Diego Musical Theater. And that was great because then everybody who couldn't go to Europe, like my family and friends out here in California, they were able to come and see me there. And then I was able to do it one more time in San Bernardino, and I did two shows there, and that was 2 years ago. So it's been a while since I've sung it, but in having rehearsed it in the last few weeks, it's almost like riding a bike.
So the role doesn't really leave you, but because it's a big and challenging role, I imagine there are different things that pop out at you when you're rehearsing it. Or is it always the same problem parts or the same parts that have always been the most challenging?
Well, what's interesting is when I did this role professionally, I didn't have an acting technique. And the last 2 years, I've been getting, been studying my master's in acting and performance pedagogy. And so I've really been studying the art of acting and how to apply that to my singing. And when I started to rehearse this again, I was able to finally break a lot of old habits, because the issue is emotionally and psychologically, the artist can get lost in the character. And that's not the goal of acting. The goal is to be able to be my complete self, but to know that I can use my entire emotional body, but I'm in imaginary circumstances. So I am always me. It's just a matter of, like, what does Maria need, and keeping my intention on the story and on the characters in the story rather than using any personal reference. So I feel like what's exciting about this, getting to do this concert one more time, is because I know the show so well, I'm finally able to break old habits or replace them with new habits that I've been learning in my acting program. I'm at Cal State Long Beach right now.
Oh, I see. That's the 917 area code I called today.
No, that is when I lived in New York. Before I booked the tour, I was in New York for 2 years studying classically as a singer, because you got to go to New York if you want your dreams to come true.
True.
And that's actually how I booked West Side. Is there was the audition was there, and yeah, or for the tour, I should say.
How fascinating that. That the work you've done post-tour has done so much to change and inform your performance today, and we'll see it on Saturday. Would you talk about what the audience can expect in a performance like this one, which is not fully staged, right?
Well, I think what's great is the music is such a masterpiece. I mean, the entire show is, and usually people know to go for the dancing, but I think what makes West Side so memorable is the music. People remember the music. And so this gives them an opportunity to hear the words, to hear what Bernstein wrote, and what a great time, the fact that it's the 100th anniversary of his birth, that to be able to kind of sit and listen and hear what did he create with these other geniuses, and to hear it just from, you know, they can sit and close their eyes and kind of imagine the entire story. Hopefully, that's my hope. Because I think a lot of times when people go to the theater, they go to really relate and to ignite their own imagination. So hopefully they can see us, of course, see us sing with the orchestra, but I hope at times they'll close their eyes and really take in the orchestra, because it's such an amazing orchestrated piece. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, we do it justice with their singing.
What we will see, I think, also is the full orchestra on stage and the cast standing mm-hmm. in front, and limited choreography. But you will still be putting a full performance as a character together for this performance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so will your co-players. By the way, have you met your Tony before?
No. Not until this week. So I'm excited to be working with him because he's from New York and stuff too. So yeah, so I hadn't met him until this week.
One thing when we say this is by Leonard Bernstein, we are kind of leaving out some critical creators here, including the lyricist. Could you tell me who that was?
Well, yeah. So Stephen Hansheim was a lyricist, and he finally got credit later on for contributing in that. But he was basically being mentored by Bernstein in this time. And then, of course, Jerome Robbins and Arthur Lawrence, they got together to create this thing. And it's basically a concept from Jerome Robbins, the renowned choreographer.
Right, right. Created all the movement that was also one of the most impactful parts of the original run. Would you tell me about the production that you did prepare to go to Europe? I mean, was that a Broadway production?
Yeah, most of us were hired from New York. There were a few people from Spain and Canada, but we were all hired mostly out of New York. And it was an incredible, strenuous experience. I booked it in April and had to leave in a month, move out of my apartment to go to Europe. So in May of 2013, I left for Europe, and we had a month of rehearsals, basically diving into character and choreography every day, 8 hours a day, for about 4 weeks. And then we opened in Naples, Italy. But the process of being in Germany, we were in Essen, Germany for rehearsals, was interesting because it was a lot at once. It was my first professional job, and I was so nervous to be in this position. But knowing that I had been preparing basically my entire life for this job, I knew what to do once I got into the theater and the rehearsal. But the dancing was all the original choreography. Joey McNeely was our director, and he worked with Jerome Robbins actually many years ago. And so he knew all of the choreography. He was also the director. So he had everything in his mind memorized. And even our conductor, Donald Chan, he had the entire score memorized. So there were times I thought he was falling asleep at the podium. And if we messed up, that's when he would wake up, it looked like. But his hands were still moving. So they knew the show backwards and forwards, and they brought their passion into it. And it was so amazing that all of us were able to come together. And they spent a lot of time on character and making sure that we understood the racism between the Jets and the Shark. And he led us through some strenuous exercises, mostly the Jets and the Sharks of how to get to that point of tension. And then with me and the Tony on tour, he led us definitely through exercises for connection. Those aren't exercises I would necessarily use now as an actor, because they were hard for me as a beginning actor understanding that. But I was really grateful for the entire run, because I really understood that I knew what I was doing as a vocalist, and I really gained ownership over my vocal technique during that time. And it was an amazing experience. I mean, my dreams came true, and I got to travel all over Europe and star on major opera stages. So it changed my life, absolutely.
Well, it's so exciting that we will get to see you on Saturday night in Battle Creek with this West Side Story, the piece that is, of course, a masterpiece and one that impacted your life like this. Tell me a little bit about your idea of Maria, the young Puerto Rican girl who falls in love with Tony.
Maria is, well, I can relate to her so much because she's so bright-eyed in the sense of she believes in hope and love. She sees things differently than you know, her family does. And, you know, she had only been in America for a month, And it's funny how they tried to consign Shah. You know, they planned to marry her to Chino, keeping, you know, it Puerto Rican only. But what's amazing is how strong willed she is. She has such an amazing arc as a character. She starts as this very vivacious, I think, girl of 16 who wants to go to this dance and is excited to finally do the grown-up things that her brother gets to do with Anita. And so she's excited to be like Anita. And then, you know, she meets Tony, and all of a sudden love, I mean, when love hits you, it hits you. And that just kind of changes her life. But this is like, we see her growing into an adult in this small amount of time. It's really a 24-hour period that the show takes place. And so by the end, you know, you see her kind of evolving into the woman that she's going to become. And it's amazing the strength that she has and the power that she holds. But she doesn't know it yet. She's kind of like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon, the caterpillar that finally was in the cocoon for the entire time in Puerto Rico with her grandmother, probably sewing and going to church all the time, and then gets to come to America and have this new life that everyone is talking and raving about. And in New York City in general, there is an energy there that changes people, and it makes you urgent and excited. And really, for me, it was the place where dreams come true. So I'm sure she had this dream of like becoming an American girl. And my dad is Guatemalan, and he came here when he was 14 to the States. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for him to be able to have more opportunity. I mean, he moved here so that I would have more opportunity. And I mean, I was born here, but he knew if he was going to have daughters that he wanted his daughters to have the American dream, and what is that? And so I think that's what's so great about our country is when immigrants get to come here to figure out what is life of the free, you know? So I think we see a really huge arc in her development in becoming a woman in this, and it has everything to do with grieving death and falling in love and really just coming into your own after you realize, I'm not like Anita. I am my own human being. And what does that mean? And I think it takes life experience to finally find that. And we see that, sadly, in a 24-hour period in this girl's life.
It's a tragedy. And yet, that shouldn't prevent someone from wanting to see this. Because in that 24-hour period, so much of life is actually lived. It's really vital. You do see how events occur almost inevitably lead to a deadly confrontation. But in the meantime, everyone is living intensely in each minute.
Yeah. And I think the choice, the theme of it is choosing love over hate. If we can have hope even through the darkness, I mean, life happens and it will continue to happen. And I think the hope that we can carry, we each have, if we have even just an ounce of hope, then we can have faith to get through it. And I think that's the message of the story is choosing to love instead of hate. And I think that's where you see Maria and Tony, they choose love no matter what everybody else thinks or says. They choose to love each other. They choose to integrate their families, regardless of the time period, regardless of all the hate that's going on between the gangs. They've found, the hope and the love in something. And I think in all theater, that's what makes interesting theater too. And this interesting art is when you can see the opposites in it, especially always finding the love.
Now, when you graduate with your master's degree in acting, theater pedagogy, this spring, what might we see from you? What kind of auditions will you be going out for? And what kind of career do you hope to put together?
I have discovered that I love to teach. And what's amazing about the program that I'm in is they teach us how to teach. And I really want to help young aspiring people that had the same dreams that I did understand how to navigate this career, because it is emotionally and psychologically taxing. So understanding technique and how to not personalize their roles is huge. And so I'm hoping to move to San Diego. I'm involved in an amazing church down there too. So I want to get really involved in leading worship as well as a singer, but also teaching voice is becoming my dream to really help people gain ownership. And I hope to write a book about vocal identity because this whole process kind of helped me understand what my relationship is with my voice and how I can help others understand that, because vocal technique is so individual, and to be able to understand that we have to take ownership of our own kinesthetic response in that. And I just hope to teach and you know, maybe create some Broadway stars, but I would really love to live in San Diego because the weather is so perfect.
Oh, I'm laughing bitterly over here.
Sorry.
Well,
I know. And very cold.
I know this is going to sound kind of sappy, but is your father and mother proud of you and your musical life?
Oh, absolutely. My mom is my number one cheerleader. And she always tells me that, and even gave me a keychain that I could have with me. And my dad, I think he's just proud of all three of us. I have another sibling and two other siblings, a brother and a sister. And I think he's just grateful that, he set out to come here to raise independent, career-driven children. And I think that we are the manifestation of the American dream. And I know when he came to see me in Europe, I mean, he got to spend his birthday with us in Frankfurt, Germany. And I got the whole cast to sing happy birthday to him during our opening night. And he just still raves about, I had a professional group of singers sing happy birthday to me. So they're very proud. But at the same time, I think it's kind of like normal for them now that I'm going to Michigan for a week. Oh, that's great. Okay. When do you need to be picked up? Or it's become normal. But yeah, I'm sure when he thinks of me as a little girl singing in the living room, I know that they're both proud. And especially, my parents are, you know, working class individuals who didn't get to finish college and who've been hardworking people who have put their entire life into their children. And all three of us have graduated college and have careers. And my brother even has a family now, and even the little nephew. And we'll be two next week. And I think they're very proud. And it's amazing to see that no matter what your circumstances are, when you just pour love into your family and into your children, how much they can grow and have a better life than you had even hoped or were able to give them. But we had a really good life. So I'm really grateful that I've had such supporting and loving parents, because I think that's essential in this career. But if you don't, you know, there's always, you find a family always with the people that you're collaborating with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's been real nice getting to know you a little bit, Jessica. And
yeah.
I wish you the best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you. You too. Have a wonderful week. And I hope the winter isn't too bad for you.